This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The city of Philadelphia has tried to restrict demonstrations during the Republican National Convention to a confined area near the convention center, which is outside of the downtown area. But one umbrella group, Unity 2000, sued the city and won the right to hold a demonstration on city streets. With me is one of the organizers of that group, Mike Morrill. This coalition includes labor, environmental, civil rights, feminist, and gay rights groups. Another umbrella group is planning a series of demonstrations and disruptions on city streets in spite of the fact they have no permit to demonstrate. One demonstration will focus on welfare rights and the rights of the homeless, another on what they describe as the criminal injustice system. The group organizing these unpermitted demonstrations is called the Philadelphia Direct Action Group, known by its acronym PDAG. Joining us is a leader of that group, Amy Kwasnicki. I asked Mike Morrill why his group was initially denied a permit to protest.
Well, the simple answer is that the Republicans were given full control over every public venue in the city, which prevented any groups from having any kind of permit. That was for the week prior to the convention and during the convention. That was unprecedented. No other city had ever given such a carte blanche to any party, Republican or Democrat, before. And so when we applied, we were actually turned down twice for our permit. And we went to the ACLU. They looked at the agreement that the city had signed with the Republicans and were just outraged, because it was clear that not only were they trying to accommodate the Republican Party, but they were trying to squelch any kind of dissent. They created what they called a First Amendment zone, which we called a protest pit. But we think the First Amendment zone is actually what they had in mind, that the First Amendment would only be in application only within this little fenced-in area, and the rest of the city, nobody could have any free speech. And I want to make it clear that what we have decided to do by applying for a permit is not in any way to denigrate the way that other people are organizing. As a matter of fact, we think it's a strength that we have many different ways for people to participate, whether it's through direct action, civil disobedience, going to educational forums or teach-ins, or participating in permitted rallies. All of those are valid forms of expression, and all of them, we think, are really under what should be the real protest permit, and that's the Constitution of the United States.
On what grounds did you finally win the permit?
We went before Judge Fulham in federal court, and Judge Fulham was the judge who put the city of Philadelphia under a permanent injunction to obey the First Amendment, the only city in the history of the United States to have that distinction. And he looked at the agreement, he looked at the city and said, you better find a way to settle this fast. And so the city, realizing that they were going to lose, came back and talked with us and decided that they not only had to settle and give us the permit, but they also ended up having to provide a lot of the services that we would otherwise have had to pay for.
Amy, did your group, Philadelphia Direct Action Group, try to get a permit?
No.
Why not?
We don't have the resources to sue the city. I mean, we don't. There's no way we could go through that kind of a process. What? As far as I know, there's only one. There's one other group that did apply for a permit, which is Kensington Welfare Rights Union, and they were denied.
Why not just protest in the area set aside for protests?
Because we would be supporting a mockery of democracy. I mean, we are patriots. We believe in this country. We believe in the right to go out in the streets is a viable part of democracy. And if we cannot do that, then there's something seriously, seriously wrong with what's going on here. And under that rubric, we're going to do it anyway.
Do you expect to be arrested for protesting without a permit?
The city government has made it very clear that they're going to arrest people who go out in their own streets while the Republicans are here. As far as the city seems to be concerned, as long as the Republican National Convention is here, our city belongs to the Republicans. We don't agree.
Let me read something from the PDAG, the Philadelphia Direct Action Group, website. One, we are organizing nonviolent direct action in response to the Republican National Convention. Two, our meetings are not a forum to plan property destruction. Three, we will not use drugs or alcohol during the planning or execution of our actions. Our meetings are not a forum to plan property destruction. The meetings aren't a forum to plan it, but would you condone it if it happened?
We have specifically asked that people respect the fact that we live here. I mean, this is our city. I mean, one of the things that has been much in the media since Seattle is that issue of property destruction. Interestingly, what's been overlooked is there was some property destruction in Seattle. Yes, some windows got smashed. Those were the windows of large multinational corporate business that is one of the perpetrators. No local business experienced any property destruction in Seattle. There was no property destruction at all in D.C. We recognize that, and we've asked people to not engage in property destruction if they're coming to participate in our activities.
Even of businesses that are part of multinational corporations?
Yes.
And it says we will not use drugs or alcohol during the planning or execution of our actions.
Yes.
What happens if someone who wants to tag along in the demonstration happens to be very drunk or using drugs, and they're acting in a way that you feel is incongruent with your group? What would you do?
We ask them to leave and hope that they will. And if they don't, we escort them. We do have security. We do have people who have been trained to help keep our spaces secure. What we are doing is already too filled with tension to have the unpredictable factor of someone being drunk or on drugs around.
Also on the PDEG website, it says PDEG invites you to disrupt the Republican National Convention. What do you mean by disrupt?
I don't know. We will see. Our organization operates through a consensus process of decision-making, which means everyone has an equal voice. And through the course of this week, which is preceding the convention, we are having meetings and people are talking and figuring out what's going to occur.
Either of your groups planning acts of civil disobedience, and if so, what do you consider to be the most effective expression of civil disobedience for your causes?
Well, Unity 2000 had made a decision early on not to do that.
It's Why?
Not a well, because we wanted a place where people could come who are not activists necessarily, to join with activists, to learn from people who are more veterans in some of the movements, where they could get literature, where they could hear speeches that could educate and motivate them, where they could hear music that could inspire them. It was not at all about tactics. I've been arrested 30 or 40 times myself. I've spent time in jail. So it's not about saying that this is a good way to do things or a bad way, but we wanted to provide different venues and different avenues for people to participate.
It seems like you need the legitimacy of a permitted march in order to, well, have legitimacy, but then if you just go, I mean, there have been so many massive marches in this country that have gotten no media attention, no press, no attention from the politicians. It's like you have to have people who are willing to go out there and commit acts of civil disobedience in order to prove that you mean it and that it is extreme, that it is important, that we are in a state of emergency. And then you also need the permanent marches for legitimacy. I mean, it's part of the power of what occurred in the protests of the World Trade Organization, as well as the protests of the IMF and the World Bank, is that it's not just a radical fringe, nor is it just those bleeding heart liberals going out in the street again with their permit. It's all of us working together, demanding massive social and political change.
So you are planning acts of civil disobedience?
Yes.
Could you tell us what some of the plans are? Is that something you're trying to
again, that's
keep secret?
Well, it's not about keeping it secret. It's that we feel an important part of what we are doing is it's not only that we're going to go out in the street. The process by which we end up there is an alternative in and of itself, because we are not a top-down hierarchical decision-making process. It's not that there are five of us somewhere who plan something out and we're now telling people what to do. We are sitting together in a room, direct, participatory, face-to-face democracy, and we are figuring it out together what's going to happen.
So you're saying you don't know yet, or you want to keep the element of surprise?
I sincerely don't know. I haven't been able to make it to any of the meetings.
but any demonstration that takes place without a permit is de facto civil disobedience. And the fact that the city refuses to give permits to groups like the Kensington Welfare Rights Union for a planned peaceful march down Broad Street toward the First Union Center says that those people will be arrested if they continue on after the police tell them to stop. That's an act of civil disobedience.
Do either of you think that you or other members of your coalition have been subjected to police surveillance.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, I mean, we have been, the surveillance has been going on for quite a while. We have pictures of the people who are taking pictures of us. And when those people were directly questioned, they claimed to not be able to tell us who they represented or who they worked for. Very recently, though, it became public that it's the police, it's the city police force that's been surveilling us. They were specifically targeting the places where we've been trying to have our meetings. But in addition to that, for months now, our garbage has been getting picked through to the point now that we don't throw any paper out. I mean, it's not that there's anything that important in our paper, but it's still disturbing to have people hanging out in your alleyway going through your garbage.
Yeah, I recently spoke at a training in Windsor, Ontario, prior to the Organization of American States meeting, and was held by immigration, going to Canada for 4 hours, was interrogated for 3 hours. Every piece of paper that I had in my possession was copied, including my date book, including all my address book and everything. Just two nights ago, I was handing out flyers, and somebody said, "You're Mike Morrell, aren't you?" Mispronouncing my name, as people usually do. And I said, "Yeah," and I couldn't place who it was. And I said, "I'm sorry, I don't remember your name." And he said, "Oh, I'm Sergeant so-and-so," which really frightened me, because here I am in doing a completely legal activity, and the police are there monitoring it, and also knew me, knew who I was before I introduced myself.
I'm wondering if either of you plan on voting.
Yes.
Yes.
So, although you think, the two major parties are both in the pockets of large corporations, I think you've made that clear. So, but you're going to vote maybe not necessarily for those two parties, or you're going to choose among them? Or?
I have nightmares about Republicans. I'm going to vote for Gore because even though there's not that big of a difference between the two, if we have a Republican president, I'm sorry, just... I really sincerely have nightmares.
I'm not going to reveal who I'm voting for, because
that is your privilege.
What we're trying to organize for the Sunday march and rally, mm-hmm. is something that's issue-based, and I don't want to confuse the issue. And my vote is personal. However, it's going to be a real struggle, because there's the two old parties don't represent anybody. I don't really like to call them the major parties. I like to call them either the old parties or the corporate parties, because that's what they are.
That's a much better answer.
My guests are Amy Kwasnicki and Mike Morrell, two of the organizers of the demonstrations planned during the Republican National Convention next week in Philadelphia. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guests are Amy Kwasnicki of the Philadelphia Direct Action Group, or PDAG, and Mike Morrell of the coalition group Unity 2000. Their groups are planning major demonstrations in Philadelphia during the Republican National Convention. Morrell's group has a permit to protest. Kwasnicki's group will hold unauthorized demonstrations. Do you consider the target of your demonstrations in Philadelphia to be the Republican National Convention, the public, the media, global corporations, or who?
well, this isn't. Let me just speak for Unity 2000, yeah. for the Sunday rally. What we are doing is not targeting the Republicans. I think most of the people organizing feel that at least the people within the convention hall are beyond hope. That they are so owned by the corporate powers that they're not going to hear anything unless there are coins jingling in their pockets. So we are, in essence, totally ignoring the Republicans, and what we are trying to do is reach out to the American public. We are creating an event that's going to be a festive street fair. There are going to be puppets, if they aren't all confiscated by the police before then. There are going to be floats. There are going to be balloons. There's going to be wonderful music from all over the world on the stage, inspiring speakers, tables with information from dozens of organizations. It's really going to be a festive atmosphere, and what we're hoping is that somebody's going to be watching this live on C-SPAN, and they're going to say, "Wow, I wish I were in Philadelphia. That looks like a great thing." People from all different backgrounds, ethnic groups, ages, queer and straight, all kinds of folks having a really good, fun time. And then they're going to turn on the TV the next night, and they're going to look at the inside of the First Union Center, and they're going to see a sea of rich, white men, primarily, and trying to show some enthusiasm by waving some signs on cue, but everything is scripted and you can tell that everything has been, there are signs from corporations all over the place. And without ever hearing one word from either event, they'll have two completely different visions of the future of this country. One which is multicultural and respects differences and accepts people for who they are, and the other which is controlled by corporations and domination by a few rich folks.
Is C-SPAN going to be covering your demonstration?
Yes.
And we are not by any means pro-Democrat. This is not this is not an anti-Republican event. This is, it is not a pro-Democrat event. It is a these demonstrations, the marches, the rallies, the civil disobedience is all to say that we will not allow this business as usual approach that our government takes. I mean, we have two parties, but it is really just one party, and they are beholden to whoever's lining their pockets, not to us.
Ever since the Seattle protests, there's been a lot of attention to organizing on the internet. You know, the internet as being a new tool for political organizing that has changed the way coalitions can come together and communicate. And Mike, let me ask you, because you've been at this job of organizing for, I suspect, many years.
Too many.
Yeah. do you feel that the internet is changing organizing from the way it was when you started?
Yeah. Absolutely.
How?
Well, for instance, when I mentioned the caravan that we organized, we were able to reach out to and get human rights activists and folks from all over the world to participate in this caravan instantly. During Seattle, we keep talking about November 30th in Seattle as this great event where there were 40, 50, 60,000 people in the streets, which was great. But via the internet, there were simultaneous events taking place around the world. There were 75,000 people in the streets in France. There was a friend called me up and told me about this small event that he had in Bangalore, India, and there were only 10,000 people there. But there were literally over a million people in the street all over the world because the people were able to interact instantly via email and websites. The difference isn't as profound, though, as one thinks, because it's organizing still is the same old thing. You have to get out and talk to people. You have to go out and go to meetings. You have to go to where people are. You have to hand out flyers. You have to make phone calls. The thing that the internet has done is made our job easier about sharing information. It's a great tool, but it doesn't replace the old kind of organizing. But I wanted to pick up on something that Amy had said earlier about all of the new faces that are involved in the movement, and that's really exciting. I'm 45, and I've been doing this for 25 or 30 years now, and until the last couple of years, even in my 40s, when I'd go to meetings, people would talk about the young people and look at me. And I'm not one of the young people anymore, but when we're having meetings, that's what was happening. In the last couple of years, it's been really exciting to watch as truly young people are getting involved in these movements and actually taking the leadership. And that's exciting, and that's really going to change things in this country.
Well, do you think there are generational differences between the older people in the movement and the younger people in the movement, both in terms of their goals and their tactics?
Well, I would say that definitely in terms of the decision-making behind the process, like, I mean, PDAG is operating very differently than Unity 2000, for example, and PDAG is majority, like, late teen to mid-20s.
So what are the differences?
Well, again, it's a consensus process. We really believe that it's not just the end product, but also the means by which we get there. And so we have a lot of meetings. And spend a lot of time talking and making decisions on a face-to-face basis. And while the internet has definitely made some aspects of organizing easier, really, I think the only way you can have democracy is by face-to-face sitting down and talking. And I think it's one of the problems in the larger picture with a representational democracy like what we have. We can't talk to our politicians. So for us, the actual means we are utilizing to create this protest is an alternative.
Mike, I wonder if you're experiencing at all the feeling of that younger people who are organizing now are going through the joy of consensus politics, and do you feel like you went through that and then reached a dead end and moved to another place after that?
No, I think that consensus definitely has its place. There are times, though, when I found that a more majority rules type of thing, which is a little more hierarchical but still democratic, has its place as well. And especially when you're dealing with people who do have to hold down jobs. A lot of our folks are working people. They're almost all working people holding down jobs, raising families. And so they don't have as much time to spend in as many meetings. The consensus model is great. It's very time-consuming, as Amy mentioned. And when you have the time to utilize it, I think it's the best way to do it. But so it's not a matter of not thinking it's a good way to organize. It's just that we chose a different model because of the folks who were involved and the time that they had to commit.
Mike Morrill is an organizer of Unity 2000. Amy Kwasnicki is one of the leaders of PDAG, the Philadelphia Direct Action Group. Both groups are planning demonstrations during the Republican National Convention. We called the Philadelphia Police Department to ask how it plans on handling the unauthorized demonstrations. We were told the police have no statement now, but they will hold a press conference tomorrow about their plans for handling protests. Coming up, two new CDs by Latin performers, a veteran and a newcomer. This is Fresh Air.